young people know how Satan is trying to get to you? Do you know what a huge target you are to him? Because he knows what's going on here, and he knows what God is doing, and he hates it. He doesn't like young people to obey God and get ready for the family of God. Oh, how he hates that.
That's my father way back in 1998, and you should know that he said that to a group of teenagers. It was at a youth camp. He talked about Satan the devil. He talked about how Satan wants to devour our young people. Now, to many, in fact, that may seem like a pretty harsh message to get across at a youth camp. In the world today, you see the devil, he's represented as kind of a cartoonish figure. He's the punchline of a good joke. People don't take it seriously, all that the Bible says about the devil. But Satan is real. The Apostle Paul said that the spirit of Satan works in the children of disobedience. How about that? So should we go to our children and tell them lies about the devil or about God even or about religion? Or should we tell them the truth? Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to The Key of David. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Today we're going to spotlight this wonderful little booklet, Overcoming Satan. Yes, the Bible says we are to overcome him. We have to go to war against our adversary, the devil. We have to fight. We have to put on the whole armor of God, as we'll see from scriptures a little bit later. This is the truth of the Bible. We are at war. I want to give you a paragraph or a quote from this little booklet. You can order today. Go to our website, keyofdavid.com, or you can text in your request or call our operators. There's many different ways that you can order the free literature, and that's important too. There's no cost or obligation. Everything we offer on this program is offered without cost or obligation. While you're at it, while you request the booklet, make sure you subscribe to The Trumpet Magazine. And as far as today's topic goes, this is the AI gamble. The world is all in with it. For the last decade or so, we've talked about how much social media has harmed our young people, how much being addicted to screen time hurts our young people, how much it dumbs them down. And then here we are now moving on to AI. We're hardly taking a second to correct the ills of the past. And now we're just all in on something brand new and something, by the way, that's very, very dangerous. What about the spirit behind these movements? Does anyone care to ask or to consider, to stop, to ponder? What if this is harmful to children or adults or both? This is from Overcoming Satan. My father says, you cannot hang on to this truth unless you are willing to fight and conquer the devil. He's talking about God's truth. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the Laodiceans, they didn't love the truth. And so God sent them strong delusion. And most of them went along with this great falling away or this great rebellion against the truth, against God's government, against the work that God was doing in these last days through his end time Elijah. It says, God assures us in his word that we can conquer Satan, and he shows us how. With God on your side, you won't have to fear the devil. So you don't want to go to one extreme or the other. You don't want to just make him out to be a cartoonish figure. And you don't have to walk, on the other hand, you don't have to walk around in fear that he's going to crush you at any moment. Not if you're close to God. Not if you're drawing on the strength and the power of God above. With God on your side, you won't have to fear the devil. You will always be a step ahead of him. Those who do conquer and overcome the devil enjoy the kind of successful, happy, abundant lives that God wants all of us to live. God wants you to live the abundant life. God wants you to put on the whole armor and to stand firm against the devil, but you have to be equipped with God's truth. You have to put on that holy armor, and you have to wield the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God. You have to use the Bible. Notice what it says in Revelation 3 and verse 21. It says, "To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne." This is Christ speaking. "Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." You mean we have to overcome the devil the same way that Jesus did? That's what it says right here in this verse. And the word for overcome, if you look into the Greek, it means to conquer. How come you don't hear this in the world of traditional Christianity? Why don't they talk about the devil? Why don't they talk about his awesome power? Why don't they talk about the fact that you have to overcome and conquer him? Back in Revelation 2, this is verse 26, same message. "And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." So if we overcome, we rule with Christ, we're given power over the nations. You don't hear that message in traditional Christianity. You just don't. It says here, "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron." He shall rule them with a rod of iron. Herbert Armstrong, he wrote this article, "Seven Proofs of God's True Church." You need to know where God's work is. You need to know where the true church is. He said in this article from 1979, "The purpose and function of the church is to back up with loyal support the apostles as their part in the Great Commission and as God's means of allowing them to overcome Satan, developing God's holy righteous character within them through the Holy Spirit, thus qualifying them also to sit with Christ in his throne in Jerusalem with power for ruling the whole earth." God brings us into his church so that we can receive training, so that we can go to battle against the devil. We have to come in and fight. It's not just a shallow accept Jesus and don't make any changes thereafter. It's not once saved, always saved. It's he that endures to the end that is saved. Matthew 24, 13. What does it mean to endure? What do we have to endure? We have to fight. We have to drive ourselves. We have to persevere. We have to diligently study the Bible. We have to fervently pray. These are all admonitions in the scriptures. So why don't most people do them? Most people are hearers only. They don't do. They don't overcome. They're not interested in conquering. All they're interested in doing is drifting through life. We are in training. If you're in God's church, if you're diligently seeking the truth of God and pouring your heart into your study and your prayers, then you become convicted. Early on, you realize, I've got to make some monumental changes because I see how the prince of the power of the air has been working in the children of disobedience, like Paul said in Ephesians 2:2. I see the devil's influence in my life. I see how wicked and deceitful my human heart is, the mind, in other words. And so I've got to go to work. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, in Moffat, it says, "Even if my gospel is veiled, it is only veiled in the case of the perishing." The gospel is veiled? You mean there are a lot of people that couldn't understand or receive the truth as Paul presented it because they were blind to it? Well, that's what it says. Right here in the next verse, you'll see the word blind. But as far as nations and their understanding being veiled, when you have some time, look at Isaiah 25 and verse 7. It says there, "And he will destroy in his mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations." That's what happens when Jesus gets back to this earth and when the government of God, the family of God, is ruling this earth, ruling the nations of this earth. The veil that covers all nations will be crushed, finally. And then mankind will be able to see the truth and will no longer be blinded to the truth. Notice verse 4. We're still here in 2 Corinthians 4. It says, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not." Who is this God? This God of this world that has blinded the minds of men to the true gospel. Who is it? Most people believe the God of this world is the great creator God. Your Bible says the God of this world is Satan the devil. And furthermore, it says we've got to overcome Satan. That's the point of this wonderful little booklet. It's a short study, but a very deep one at that. And I would encourage you to request a free copy so that you can begin your study and start to put on the armor of God so that you might be able to stand against the devil. That's Ephesians 6. We'll go there if we have time. The God of this world, it says, blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan loves it when this world dwells in darkness. And that was Jesus Christ's assessment of this world in John 3. If it was in darkness in the first century, if it was in darkness 2,000 years ago, what do you think God's assessment would be today? Look at all of the delusion, the fakery, the phoniness, the lies, the deception. Look at the fighting, the warfare, the division, the political strife. Look at all the malnourished people around the world, people barely living in poverty in certain parts of the world. And then we've got all the physical goods we could ever ask for in this part of the world. And yet we're impoverished spiritually. We're impoverished morally. John 14:30 says, "The prince of this world," referring to Satan the devil, he has a lot of power. He's the God of this world. He's the prince of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He surcharges the air with his attitudes, his impulses, his ideas, his agenda. And if we're not vigilant, if we're not on guard, if we're not looking to God, if we're not relying on God's power, we're going to be totally deceived. Notice Revelation 12 and verse 7. It says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and they prevailed not." A great spiritual war. Did you know that this goes on? Did you know there's war in the spiritual realm? Do you see the spirit realm? Well, of course, you can't see it with the naked eye, but are you aware of it? Are you aware of the devil's influence? Do you see his fingerprints all over our society? And if so, what does that mean? What is it leading to? What's the solution? How do we rid the world of the devil's influence? It's all contained in the good book, the Word of God, your sword. This is your weapon. If you don't know this book, you don't have your weapon. You're not fighting an offensive battle. You're backpedaling, or worse, you're drifting, or worse, you're totally deceived. God can open your eyes to the truth. He can open your mind to the truth if you'll humble yourself, if you'll be as a little child, submissive, meek, looking to God, telling God like the prophet Jeremiah did in Jeremiah 10, "I don't know the way to direct my steps. I don't know where I'm going. I don't have the answers. I don't have the truth, but give it to me. Please open my mind. Teach me, oh God, your statutes, your judgments, your commandments." Pray that prayer. Humble yourself and watch your understanding begin to grow and deepen. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing to receive instruction from God, to receive it and to use it. Revelation 12 and verse 7, "And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels," well, we read that, it says, and Michael, or rather the devil and his demons, "they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." No more place for Satan and the demons in heaven. Now they're confined to this earth. Well, that can't be good for the occupants of this earth, can it? They're confined to this earth, our planet? Verse 9, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels," that would be demons, "were cast out with him." Now, this right here explains so much about our nations. It explains so much about America and the problems America has, and the wars that we see internationally, and the fighting, and the diplomacy on the one moment, and then the next moment, we're back at war. We're back bombing. It tells you why this world is the way it is. It's because of this. It's because of Revelation 12, 9. The whole world is deceived. That's not me talking. That's not my opinion. That's Revelation 12, 9. How come you don't hear this message more in the world of traditional Christianity? Well, maybe you should ask the pastor, the preacher. Why? Why don't we hear more about the devil? Why is he made into a cartoonish figure? He's real. And his influence is described all through the Bible, and it's not good. It's not good. Verse 12, it says, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." So here's Satan and his demons. They're kicked out of heaven. The heavens rejoice. Finally, we have some peace and not all this fighting and bickering. But woe unto the earth, it says. We're in that period of woe, of bitter affliction, as we've talked about before, regarding another prophecy. Head-to-toe sickness, as it says in Isaiah 1. Here again, the dragon was cast out, verse 9 says. The serpent called the devil, Satan, and he deceives the whole world. How do you overcome the arch deceiver that is Satan the devil? Well, here's your field manual. Here's your instruction book, together with the Holy Bible. Read it with your Bible. Study it with your Bible. Don't believe me. Believe what the Bible says. That's what we want to point you to. Just look into the Bible and see for yourself what the Bible says about our adversary, Satan the devil. We'll be right back.
Get up to date with the day's most important headlines and learn how the Bible is ahead of the news. Watch Stephen Fleury's daily podcast, The Trumpet Daily. Live streamed weekdays at 11 a.m. Central Time, Stephen Fleury explains world events and where they are headed using Bible prophecy. He also hosts interviews with leading authors, journalists, and thinkers. The Bible explains world news happening now. You can see how. Watch The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Fleury. Bring the Bible into the news each weekday with Stephen Fleury at trumpetdaily.com. Watch on demand at YouTube, Rumble, Roku, or your favorite podcast app.
We are called to conquer as Christ did. We have to conquer the devil. We have to conquer the world. We have to conquer our own human nature. And this verse is specifically about you. In this Laodicean era, and it's a war, it's a war that has eternal consequences. There are going to be winners and there are going to be losers. Eternally.
That's my father again some years ago, addressing members of the church, saying we're in a war and there's going to be winners and losers. There are casualties in war, but you don't have to be a casualty. You can overcome the devil. God will empower you if you look to God and you look to his power. If you don't, you're no match for the devil. We gave a program recently on America Under Attack. This communist infiltration in the United States, it very nearly blotted out the U.S. and even the name of America. But God intervened to save America. And I didn't dwell on the point in that particular program, not that long anyway. The fact that there's a spirit behind this communist infiltration, this attack through whatever political movement, you could call it whatever, but the spirit behind it, that's the root cause. And that spirit is Satan the devil. Satan would love to destroy America. He'd love to destroy you. He'd love to destroy your family, your children. And he's working hard at that. Be assured, he's working hard to blot out life, to blot out truth. Look at how hard we had to fight for Mystery of the Ages and other writings by Herbert Armstrong in court. Why would a religious group want to keep a book out of print? It's because of Satan the devil in that America Under Attack program. I went through a couple verses in Ephesians 6. Let's turn over there again. Ephesians 6 and verse 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So if you're reading that correctly, you see that unless I have the armor of God on me, I'm not going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm going to be easy prey. He'll easily pick me off. 1 Peter 5 says he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Without God's help, without God's power, without God's armor, without God's sword, we will be devoured by the devil. Verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, these are sobering verses, but as I said at the start, coming at our young people, imagine giving this message to 13, 14, 15-year-olds. And it's not like we're looking to scare people, but it is the truth, and they need to know. They need to know about this world. They need to know about the God of this world. They need to know what to resist against. And they need to know about the armor that they need to put on. Verse 13, it says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand." You have to do everything you can to stand firm with God, to draw on God's power. You can't be passive in this war. You can't be neutral. You have to go on the offensive. Most of the armor discussed here is for defensive purposes, but then Paul gets to the sword, and now that's a weapon. The sword is an offensive weapon. And so God wants us to defend ourselves using this spiritual armor. But he also wants for us to go on the offensive, to take the battle to the devil. There's a verse that actually talks about Satan fleeing from you. I don't know if we'll have time to get there, but verse 17, it says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The sword is the word of God. The sword is the Holy Bible. This is your offensive weapon. That in itself tells you something about your approach, or the approach that you should take to Bible study. It's not just a sleepy time read. You are opening your Bible at your study desk with your Bible pens and your notebook beside you, maybe some literature that we offer freely on this program, and you are digging in. You are diligent. You're a good workman, pleasing God, searching the scriptures like the Bereans. You have to. That's your weapon. That's how you stand against the devil. Notice 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. We'll just go through these quickly. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Humble yourself before God's mighty hand. God has mighty power. God is much more powerful than the devil. Verse 7, it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." God cares about you. God will defend you. God will back you. God will empower you. Verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The word vigilant in verse 8, it means to take heed lest through remission and indolence some destructive calamity suddenly overtake you. You have to be on guard. You have to be vigilant. That means, like Mr. Armstrong said in an article from 1980, that means that we have to really pour our hearts into studying the Bible and praying to God and occasional fasting, like Jesus did in Matthew 4. That's what he did to overcome Satan. And sometimes we have to go through that exercise to really be spiritually discerning, spiritually strong, in good training spiritually. Verse 9, it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, resist against him. James 4 adds that if you submit yourself to God and resist the devil, that the devil will actually flee from you. That's James 4 and verse 7. The devil will actually flee from you if you submit to God and you resist against Satan the devil. For much more on this subject, make sure that you call our operators today or text in your request. You can go to keyofdavid.com and order the literature today online. Or if you just want to read it online, you can go to our website, thetrumpet.com as well. That's all we have time for on today's show. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To request the free literature on today's program, visit keyofdavid.com.